There's a rich set of stories today at the intersection of AI, culture, and ethics that I want to work through because they collectively illustrate a tension that's going to define how AI integrates into creative industries over the next several years. Netflix revealed in a teaser trailer for a show called Wonka's The Golden Ticket that it's using an AI-generated voice recreation of Gene Wilder, created by 11 Labs with the consent of Wilder's estate. The voice of one of the most beloved actors in film history recreated algorithmically, appearing in new content. The estate consented. 11 Labs built it. Netflix is using it.
And on the very same day, SAG-AFTRA President Astin was before a House subcommittee arguing that every person deserves the right to own their voice and likeness in the age of AI. That's not a coincidence in terms of timing. These are parallel debates happening in the entertainment industry and in Congress simultaneously. The Gene Wilder case is legally clean because the estate consented. But what SAG-AFTRA is trying to establish is a legal framework that protects living performers who haven't consented and deceased performers whose estates might not have the leverage to negotiate fair terms.
Vox published an investigation this week exposing fake AI-generated influencers specifically targeting gay men using synthetic personas with fabricated identities, life stories, and social media histories to build followings and then monetize them through product promotions or data collection. This is a darker application of the same underlying technology. The victims in that case aren't giving consent. They're being deceived about the fundamental nature of the entity they're interacting with.
Macron opened a global summit on the death penalty this week, citing record global executions. France has been the most consistent diplomatic voice against capital punishment, and the summit brings together more than 90 countries. The U.S., notably, has not eliminated the death penalty federally, which creates a diplomatic awkwardness when American representatives participate in these forums.
And the University of Texas approved a $1.9 million settlement with a professor who was fired over a post involving Charlie Kirk. That case had become a flashpoint in the academic freedom debate, specifically around whether universities were applying content-neutral standards to faculty speech or whether political considerations were influencing personnel decisions. A nearly $2 million settlement suggests the university's legal team concluded the termination was difficult to defend in court.
Now I want to pivot to something we should really dig into carefully, which is the AI employment debate. There are two stories today pointing in opposite directions. Tech leaders are pushing back on warnings of an AI job bloodbath. And separately, a study finds that companies using AI most aggressively are actually adding junior workers rather than cutting them. The dominant narrative heading into 2026 was that AI would trigger significant near-term white-collar job displacement. And the pushback from tech leaders and this new data are worth taking seriously.
The data point about AI-heavy companies adding junior workers is genuinely counterintuitive. The theoretical model for AI job displacement goes like this. AI automates the tasks that junior workers do, research, drafting, data organization, which means you need fewer junior workers. But the observed pattern is the opposite. Companies using AI most intensively appear to be expanding their junior workforces. One interpretation is that AI makes junior workers more productive, which means each junior hire generates more value, which makes hiring them more attractive.
Which leads me to our What If We're Wrong segment for today, because I think this is the episode's most confident claim that AI is net positive for employment, at least in the near term, based on this data. Let me challenge that.
Please do. I've been presenting it somewhat favorably.
The key assumption that could be wrong is that the companies being measured are representative. The companies using AI most aggressively right now are by definition early adopters. They tend to be better capitalized, more innovative, operating in growing markets. Of course, they're hiring. The question is, what happens in the second wave when AI tools become commoditized and available to every company, including those in declining industries or under margin pressure? The early adopters aren't the relevant population for predicting economy-wide employment effects.
That's a real methodological concern. The sample selection problem in these studies is substantial. If you study tech companies in the early phase of AI adoption, You're studying the survivors and the optimists. You're not measuring the law firm that quietly replaced two associate positions with an AI contract review tool, or the insurance company that eliminated a data entry team. Those companies aren't the ones being profiled in stories about AI productivity gains.
There's also a timing problem. Employment effects from major technological shifts don't appear immediately. They play out over 5 to 10 years as the technology diffuses through the economy and as workers who leave one industry struggle to transition into growth sectors. The optimistic studies are measuring a moment, not a trajectory.
So what's the strongest version of the counterthesis? That AI job displacement is real but lagged? That we're currently in the phase where adoption is fastest among employers who were already hiring aggressively, and the displacement will become visible in aggregate employment data 18 to 36 months from now, concentrated in specific occupational categories rather than spread evenly.
And the signal to watch for, if we're wrong, look for divergence in employment levels between occupations that involve significant TEMBI. AI automatable tasks, paralegal, medical coding, content moderation, financial analysis at the associate level versus occupations that require physical presence or judgment under uncertainty. If those categories start diverging in unemployment rates or wage growth in the next 12 months, that's the indicator that the displacement story is real and the AI ads junior workers finding was a temporary artifact of early adoption dynamics.
Concretely, if legal sector employment for associates starts declining while equity partner compensation keeps rising, that's the pattern consistent with AI displacing labor at the entry level while concentrating returns at the top. Worth watching the Bureau of Labor Statistics Occupational Employment Series quarterly for exactly that divergence.